Heavenly Father, we thank you that we could be here in your name and with each other. And we thank you for the good weather that you've given us and ask that it would continue. And we also ask, please, that you would help us to understand the Bible and what Jesus taught about that party. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible teaches us that God is throwing a party. The prophet Isaiah talked about it in the Old Testament reading. There will be rich food, the best wine, and it's going to be on a mountain. I love that picture of the feast on a mountain. All the different people of the earth will be invited. It'll be like a party that goes forever, except you won't get tired. You know how at the end of a party, especially a party in a certain age bracket, somebody always gets tired near the end and there's a meltdown? That won't happen at this party. It'll be a party that lasts forever and we won't get tired. Now, when Jesus was on the earth, he often had meals with people. And today we read about a time when Jesus was having dinner. One of the dinner guests said, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." This man was saying to Jesus, "God's party at the end of time, that is sure going to be good. You wouldn't want to miss that." And I bet, I'll tell you what I bet in a minute, but let me ask you this. What do you honestly believe about that feast in the kingdom of God? Do you believe it's real? Do you know how to get in? Or have you just not thought about it for a long time or perhaps ever? The man who said to Jesus, "This feast is going to be great," I bet he thought that Jesus would say, "You're right, it is going to be fantastic and you are definitely going to be there." But instead, Jesus told him a story about a party that nobody came to. A certain man was planning a great feast. There he is. Now, maybe it was his birthday. He looks a bit nervous like me, actually. But anyway, maybe it was his birthday. Maybe one of his kids was getting married. Maybe his football team had won the premiership and he just wanted to celebrate with everyone. We're not told why he was having the party, but he wanted his friends to celebrate with him. The invitations had all gone out in advance. And then on the day, the servant was sent out to let everybody know, "The food's ready. It's time to come now." There's the servant being given his instructions. But when the servant went out to the people, one by one, all of the guests who, remember, had been pre-invited, all of them began to make excuses. "I've bought a field and I must go and look at it. I've bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'm on my way to try them out. Please, I ask you, let me be excused." There's a lot of politeness in those first two, the way they said it. The third person just said, "I've just got married and I can't come." Which do you think is the best excuse? Well, I thought that just for fun, we could have a poll. So if inside your booklet where the sermon outline is, you'll find a QR code. And if you scan that, now, if you were really great, you wouldn't have even brought your phones to church, but perhaps you've got them. If you scan that QR code, it'll take you to a poll and we can all vote as to which we think is the best excuse. Actually, you get to rank them, so choose the best one first. Is it the field, is it the oxen, or is it the one who had just got married? Well, I've got mine open here. I actually already cast my vote a little while back. I don't think I'll edit my response. I'm sticking with it. And we're just going to see if the Sydney loving for real estate is going to boost the field in the voting. We've got 10 votes in so far. All right, well, look, I'll just let that happen. I'm sure you can concentrate, and we'll give you the results in a little while. Either way, it's a sinking feeling, isn't it, for the man who's thrown the party. When you're throwing a party, one or two pullouts is something that you expect. But everybody, it's almost as though it's a conspiracy. All of the invited guests are pulling out. And so this beautiful feast is in danger of going to waste. It is such a sad story, isn't it? Children, can you imagine inviting your friends to a birthday party and none of them came? No one to pin the tail on the donkey. No one to take a swing at the piñata. No one to sing you happy birthday. Don't you think, I'm talking to everybody now, don't you think that a party to which nobody comes, it's just one of the saddest things in the world, isn't it? It's tragic. The expectation that all of your friends would be there to celebrate with you and then they don't turn up. Only yesterday, I was reminded by a conversation we had at home about my year 10 agriculture teacher who had decided for the last lesson of the year that they were going to buy us pizza as a surprise. But all the terrible students didn't show up to the lesson. And so the teacher that organised this pizza, as I recall, I was there, and maybe a few of the really geeky ones. It's just tragic when you turn on a party and people don't come. This is part of the reason why so many people just never have parties, because when you've put yourself out there and thrown a party, the rejection really hurts. Remember, these no-shows in the story, these are his friends. Gone to look at a field. Give me a break. The field is going to be there tomorrow. What must have hurt the man in the story is to realise that he wasn't really so special to his friends after all. Otherwise, they would have made the effort to come. But can you see what the point is of Jesus telling this story? It's about his kingdom. And the point that he's making is that the feast in the kingdom of God, that one that the man was so confident of being in, that feast is in danger of becoming one of these parties to which nobody shows up. Because who is the master in the story? Well, he stands for God, right? That's easy. He's the one throwing the party. But who is the servant in the story? I think the servant stands for Jesus. Because he is the one that God sent out into the world to say, okay, it's time. Everything's ready. The kingdom of God is just about here. And what did humans say? We're too busy. The thing about being busy is that all the stuff seems important at the time, but when you pan back and look at it in perspective, when the Son of God is saying to us, it's time. Time to turn back and be the friend that I always wanted you to be. Is all the other stuff so important? Well, which was the best excuse according to our poll? It was closer than I expected. A few more votes came in. Okay, so the results are this. The best excuse was getting married. We've had 32 votes. Best excuse was getting married. Next, the cows. And then third, the field. Okay, so real estate didn't count. People were more into animals and then marriage. I must admit I voted for marriage. I thought that was probably a better excuse. But really, really, what is an excuse that is good enough to shut out friendship with God, the God who made us and who loves us and is throwing us a party? Well, come back to the story. The servant went back to the master And he said, look, sorry, the invited guests aren't coming. They all reckon that they've got other commitments. So it says that the master became angry, which I would be. But he was determined that all of his lovely food was not going to go to waste. And so he said to his servant, go out into the streets of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. But then, having done that, even after bringing all these ring-ins from the city streets, there was still room. And so then the servant was sent out to the highways and the byways of the country roads. And he said, compel them to come in so that my house may be full. I love that. Compel them to come in. Who do these people stand for? I think in the original, the invited guests who made excuses were the Jewish elites who rejected Jesus in his earthly life, the ones who knew the Old Testament and should have recognized Jesus as God's son. The second round, the poor and the crippled, they were the ordinary people who were receiving Jesus' message. The people out on the country road stand for the non-Jewish people, which it would be most of us here today, who have been hearing the gospel over the last 2,000 years. What we learn is that in spite of many rejections, God is determined that there will be guests at his party. Now, I think we should feel encouraged by that, because God could very well have given up on his world, and yet he hasn't. He is still going to throw his party. How do we know this? Well, the original announcement of the party came through the Old Testament prophets. They spoke from God and they said it was going to happen. But the real proof is that the master has sent out his servant with the follow-up invitation. Listen to the words of the servant from verse 17. Come, for everything is ready. Now, do you see, St. Jude's, that those are the very words of the Lord Jesus to you and me today? Come, for everything is ready. Did you know that Christianity is the only one of the world's religions whose founder has not only instructed us what to do, but has done everything necessary to provide us with a rich welcome into his Father's heavenly party? That is, that Jesus, in his atoning death and his rising from the dead, has made all the preparations. Everything is ready. Have you accepted the invitation? Maybe we're not even sure if we've accepted the invitation. Well, here's how we can tell. My overall response to the Lord Jesus Christ is my response to the invitation. So let's just ask ourselves this. Is my overall life response, is the stance of my whole life, is my response to Jesus, Jesus, I recognize that you are God's servant who has been sent to summon us to the party, and I'm coming with you. Or, yeah, too right, Henry. Or is my response, oh, Jesus, yeah, that's right. You've come about the party. Oh, look, I'm really sorry. I'm doing something else. Our response to Jesus Christ is our response to God's invitation to his forever party. So if you've never before said to Jesus, Jesus, I realize you're God's servant and I want to come with you to the party, say it today. Say that in the quietness of your heart. And then tell somebody that you've said it. If you feel that you want to read the fine print of the invitation or to check out the credentials of the servant, then why not come to our Discover course that's starting this Wednesday? It doesn't matter whether Jesus finds us in the streets or in the highways and hedges. All that matters is that when he meets us, we go with him to the party. Jesus said, "Come, for everything is ready." I'm going with him. Do you want to come too? Let's pray. Father, we are amazed that you have not given up on your world, but you have decided that you would still hold this party, the one that lasts forever, in spite of so many people having turned it down. Father, we thank you that Jesus' gospel is still out in the world, summoning people to attend. And we pray for our hearts that they might be turned to you and that we would be a part of your forever party. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.